This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring a discussion on steps and action plan to meet summer electricity demand. The participants are Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Sonu Sood, anchor.
The government is taking all necessary steps to ensure that the electricity demand in the upcoming summer season is met. To ensure this, the Union Minister for Power and New and Renewable Energy, Sri R. K. Singh, has held a series of meetings with various stakeholders, emphasizing the need for ensuring zero load shedding during the summer season. To discuss this, we have with us energy expert Sri Narendra Taneja. Warm welcome, sir, to Akashvani.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we'd like to know from, you know, meeting summer season demand, especially when Indian Meteorological Department, IMD, has projected higher than normal maximum and minimum temperatures this summer in most parts of the country. How big a challenge is it for the government and power ecosystem of the country?
Well, power is always a challenge because we are a fast-growing economy, and at the same time, as you know, summer, sometimes the temperatures can go beyond 46 degrees Celsius in some part of the country. So therefore, the demand goes up. In some places, the demand goes up suddenly. But then at the same time, if you look at the history, the tradition is that, you know, the Central Ministry of Power, you know, they start working on it already from the month of February. So they start getting in touch. They start, you know, basically asking the different states kind of their preparations, their plans, how much electricity they might need during the summer, and also in terms of coal, etc., because majority states also generate their own power. So that's part of the kind of, call it ritual, call it tradition, so that's very much there. And as you get closer to the summer, you know, the preparation actually starts getting more intensified. So now, since we are already in April, and big parts of India is already experiencing summer, so therefore, this preparation is started, basically focusing on two things. Number one is government wants to make sure that the power generation by respective states, different states and all that, that is well taken care of. They don't have any kind of shortages in terms of coal in particular. B, of course, to make sure that once the power is generated, you know, that the transmission and distribution is smooth and the connectivity with the grid, that is smooth. So these are basically two areas. As you know, that electricity is a state subject, especially when it comes to distribution. And therefore, but at the same time, the central plays a very important role in terms of policy, in terms of support to state utilities, and also power generation. Government of India companies like NTPC, NHPC, Solar Power Corporation, Nuclear Power Corporations are, you know, some major producers of electricity in the country. So they, which means, but at the same time, buyers and the distributors are various states. So this requires a lot of coordination and cooperation between the center, the central entity, and the state entities, including utilities. So all that is part of these discussions which I just referred to. And therefore, the power minister, you know, calling for this meeting and all that is a tradition, but becomes very, very important.
Government adopting this integrated approach to ensure that states with surplus power supply the same to states with power deficit through energy exchange, power grid, so that overall situation is comfortable pan-India. You feel that this is very, very complex logistics, which will be successful, and we can hope that pan-India there will be a situation where there is smooth energy supply, smooth electricity supply?
Well, as you said, it's an extremely complex procedure, but at the same time, over the years, the central ministry, the central government has mastered this art, how to do it. So there are templates, there are practices, there are also necessary laws and regulations and all that. So that takes care of it. Like some states are known basically for power, generating hydropower. Let's say Himachal Pradesh, Jammu and Kashmir, Arunachal Pradesh, and there are quite a few others. And there are some basically known for either coal production or coal-based superpower plants. So they require coordination. At the same time, we have also now, you know, doing very well in terms of solar power, especially from states like Gujarat and Rajasthan and Karnataka and quite a few others. So it requires a lot of coordination so that wherever forest challenges are, or wherever, for instance, you know, center needs to intervene, or center needs to kind of put the policy in place, or required policy changes or policy push, they do it. And at the same time, you know, the important component of these are two. Number one is to make sure that, you know, they make efficient use of coal, and B, to make sure that they make efficient use of electricity that is available. And where the surplus electricity is there, it flows smoothly through the grid system to the states where it's needed more. There are some states, they are acutely power deficient, while there are other states which are power surplus. So to work A, on the economics of this thing so that it's profitable for both, at the same time to make sure that, you know, electricity is available to every single consumer, whether you're a domestic consumer or you're an industrial consumer. So that is all done. So we are, in terms of power generation or installed power capacity, we are among the top three in the world now. And wherever there are challenges are where very often are on two fronts. Number one, coal shortage, sometimes it happens. And B, you know, the power disruptions in the transmission. Now the new technology has been deployed. And the railway system has become far more efficient, you know, to carry coal from one place to another. And at the same time, the overall transmission and distribution system of the country has really gone through many, many changes. It's almost among the best in the world.
You know, expanding on that the advantages of the planned maintenance of power plants being shifted.
Basically, what happened that, you know, so this is how it's coordinated so that, you know, as the monsoon progresses towards the north and the western part of the country, is synchronized in such a way that power is made available using the national grid to northern states more. Or when, for instance, they start raining heavily in the north, and if there are parts of the country, so the power is basically made available there. So that's basically how it's done. Now, the new system is very clear, you know, in terms of, you know, so that because in summer when you need the maximum power, that means the government wants that all power plants across the country, whether you are nuclear, or you are coal or you are hydro, that, you know, you just basically focus on generating power because that is the time and maximum power is required. So in terms of whatever you need to do, whether you need to kind of, you know, maintenance, etc., sometimes you need to shut down the power plant maintenance, etc., or other infrastructure within the power plant, you know, compound, that they should be shifted to monsoon. Don't do it in the summer. So summer, you basically focus only one thing, that's producing power.
So the minister also held a meeting yesterday with the generation companies and reviewed the status of 5.2 gigawatt of non-operational thermal capacity. In this context, can you also tell us, you know, what is Section 11 of the Electricity Act and its significance in the current situation to operationalize all existing gas-based and imported coal-based power plants so that overall production be maximized in this period of ultra-high demand?
You see, this is basically all based on the experience of the last 3-4 years. So the government focus now is that if you have extra installed capacity, or for instance, the capacity is based on imported coal, or for that matter, natural gas. So the government wants that is also available. So they have coordinated with the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas to make the gas available to those power plants so that, you know, they are running at their maximum capacity. And the same goes for, you know, the thermal. I mean, there are many power plants, they are, you know, designed for imported coal so that they also have access to coal, whether domestic or wherever possible replacement, so that they run on full capacity. So the focus, if you are using different regulation, is this, that if you have installed capacity or if you have the capacity, no power plant should actually be underperforming, under-generating for want of oil, for want of gas, or for want of imported coal. So that is broadly speaking for the benefit of the audience, I'll say. Just making sure that every single megawatt installed is put into generation.
Can you tell us about the importance and scope of boosting renewable sources of electricity, like you were mentioning, solar, wind, hydroelectric, to further smoothen the supply situation in the long run and also meet our climate change needs of the goals that we have of energy transition?
Well, it's an interesting question. You see, when you look at our country, the size of our country, the size of our population, and the fact that we are among the fastest growing economies in the world, and we are the fastest growing large economy in the world, for all that, you need electricity. And without power, you can't sustain any of these achievements, call it agendas. When you look at the present situation, you know, roughly 65 to 67% of electricity is still coming from coal. Coal is domestic source, largely speaking, but at the same time, we all know that coal contaminates air, contaminates water, contaminates ground. So the government wants to replace eventually coal 20 years, 30 years, 35 years from now with renewable sources of energy or the greener sources of energy. And therefore, if you look at the government agenda the last 7 years, we have come a very, very long way in terms of generating power using solar radiation. And we are already among the top 7 solar power producers in the world. Now, the strategy now is to produce more from offshore wind. That is basically having wind turbines, power turbines on high seas along the coast, east coast and west coast. So, and the government has already come out with a policy, and the policy infrastructure is being put in place, and the bids are being invited. So, there's a lot of work going on. The strategy is simple, that, you know, over the years, gradually, because this can't happen overnight, we replace our conventional sources of energy, electricity, to renewables. And renewables include nuclear power, solar, wind, and etc. But that means it's going to be a gradual process. So we, at the present stage, we need more coal. We need to produce more electricity from coal, for that matter, from natural gas, and in some cases even diesel, while we work on renewable energy. And eventually, maybe 30 years from now, we will have renewable energy actually replacing conventional energy in most parts of the country. But that's a long-drawn process. The idea is to reach the hit the net zero goal by 2070.
So the importance of uninterrupted power supply for households, industry, agriculture, in fact, the entire economy cannot be emphasized enough. What would you say, how has the situation evolved over the years in this direction?
Well, they have come a very, very long way. I mean, look at, for instance, the installed power capacity in India used to be in the region of 230,000 megawatt. Today, we are roughly 440,000 megawatt. And at the same time, you go anywhere and everywhere, practically, you have electricity available now. Every single village now has been connected with power, and every household is being connected with power. And at the same time, when the government has now come out with this plan in the last budget, that's to encourage, incentivize, you know, solar panel. Basically, you own your own power plant on your rooftop. And government has announced, you know, financial incentive for that. So the whole strategy is very simple, you know, just to make sure that every household has access to sufficient and affordable electricity. And I think if you look at it in terms of where we stand today and where we were, let's say, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, even 7 years ago, I think we have come a very, very long way. Today, we are among the top three power generators and consumers in the world. And if you look at, for instance, our achievement in terms of whether growth in the agriculture or industrial growth or IT services, etc., and for exports and everything, everything is dependent on electricity. And there again, this wouldn't have been possible. We wouldn't have become close to now 7% GDP growth and now going for 8% GDP growth without electricity. Without electricity, nothing moves. And the government even is now focusing on EVs, electric vehicles, that slowly and slowly, gradually, will replace all diesel and petrol vehicles with electricity vehicles, which means that we need to generate even more electricity. So for that, you need to put in place the right policies and at the same time, right infrastructure, but more importantly, you know, power plants which are more efficient, power plants which are very well connected with each other, and the national grid is absolutely works very, very smoothly. So wherever you are as a consumer, you have access to affordable energy.
In fact, you talked about electric vehicles. Even the electrification of railways is being done on a fast pace. So as far as the generation of power goes, and as far as the inputs like coal and the other inputs, how self-reliant are we, and how far have we yet to go?
This is a good tough question. We are basically working towards energy independence by 2047. And right now, when you look at oil, our dependence is very high. Roughly 7% of oil that we consume, we import. Natural gas, roughly 54%. Coal also, some coal we import. Uranium for nuclear power, we import. Equipment for solar, we import heavily. So right now, dependence on imports is very, very high. So now the government, in a very, very determined manner, has set kind of goals that we are going to bring our dependence on imports for solar panels to zero over the coming years. The same goes for other sources of energy. So the whole strategy now, agenda is that India should be energy independent by 2047, and milestones have been, destinations have been put in place, and now everybody is working backward to make sure that we get there, we achieve that. It's a long journey, but we have to strike the right balance that, you know, first we have to make sure electricity is available, we can sustain our growth and eradicate poverty completely. But at the same time, over a period of time, you know, we achieve this target of energy independence.
Just to wind up the discussion, to minimize outages, minimize load shedding, and enjoy a comfortable and productive summer season, you feel that all the stakeholders have to jointly take responsibility, including the users. The usage by domestic and industrial users needs to be judicious, mindful, and avoiding wastage.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, power conservation is very, very important, because this is the government is doing what the government is doing. State governments are doing what the state governments are doing. Private sector is doing what the private sector is doing. But at the end of the day, the consumer is the most important stakeholder. If the consumer wants, you know, affordable energy and at the same time, you know, reliable energy, it's important that they also play their due role. So if you are not in the room, don't switch off bulb there or air conditioner there or cooler there, whatever it is. At the same time, use electricity more prudently, so that when you don't need it, maybe you can afford it, you can pay for it, but when you don't really need it, it's available to the one who actually needs it. So I think it's very, very important that one is a responsible consumer of electricity.
Thank you so much, Mr. Taneja, for this inspiring discussion.
You were listening to a discussion on steps and action plan to meet summer electricity demand. The participants were Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Sonu Sood, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.